I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Megan, what's on your Christmas list this year?
A vacation. I mean, but seriously, I have not gone anywhere in like 2 years.
In
terms of like a real vacation.
Right.
And I don't know, at this point, is it bad to be talking about traveling with Omicron or whatever? But at the same time, I'm exhausted of living this life without a vacation.
Where would you like to go?
Somewhere beachy, obviously. Yeah. Like when it gets cold in New York, I just am ready to leave. What else do I want, though? I don't know. What do you want?
Well, because we just moved, there's an awful lot of things that we need for the apartment.
That's why you need a housewarming party.
I do need a housewarming party. That'll probably be in the spring. But I said to my mom, and this just goes to show how old we're all getting, I was like, I think I need a power drill for Christmas. Like, there's stuff that needs to be done around the house.
And so funny.
far from the days of, you know, PlayStation games or whatever. It's like, wow.
I will say my dad sent me to New York with a toolkit. So
I have an IKEA one, which has the basics, a wrench, screwdriver, hammer. But I need more.
Yeah. You need your man tools now.
I need my man tools.
Not penis. It's not a euphemism.
Well, I need those. Yeah. What's going on in Bravo News?
Oh, it's sad. Raquel and James from Vanderpump Rules called off their engagement.
After 5 years together, and we saw him propose on the show just this season.
I know.
Do you think that watching the show back this season might have had something to do with it?
I don't know about that, but I know that, like, as I've been watching this season, and maybe other people feel this way too, yes, James has made progress, but is it enough?
Yeah.
You know?
Particularly that scene earlier this season with her family and his mom and the conversation that happened there, it seemed like everyone was still a little on the fence about them going forward in their relationship.
Right. But yeah, you do make a good point, because I do feel like he's made a lot of comments this season about, it's not like I was after her for her brains when I first met her. And like, I don't know, Raquel's someone who deserves to be appreciated for all that she has, not just her looks.
Yeah. I mean, they've grown a lot together, but that also might result in them growing apart.
Right.
Exciting news. Summer House season 6 is coming.
I am so ready for it.
So ready on the heels of Winter House.
Right.
So, you know, we don't have to go much longer without our crew again, which is fantastic.
Yeah. And I'm curious if we're going to see Craig make a cameo.
Oh, we better.
Yeah.
Did you see that Madison LaCroix got veneers?
I didn't see this.
You need to check out her Instagram.
Okay.
Or BravoTV.com. There's a Style and Beauty article about it. Obviously, Madison is a beautiful woman. The veneers are always a shock to me when I first check it out.
I'm looking.
The dentist who actually did the procedure posted a full video of it being done. And I didn't think her teeth looked that bad to begin with. She did have, I guess the bottom row was a little crooked, but it's just now when you first see her smile, it's just not the smile we know from Madison.
Yeah, I don't, you know, the veneers are interesting. Like, it's one of those things where on one hand, I sort of want them, you know, because I your teeth look perfect. But on the other hand, as we're sort of seeing with a lot of our housewives getting them, they're all sort of starting to look the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's like a nose. Like, it's such a unique thing. And even if your teeth aren't perfect, you know,
they're yours.
I know. Like, I have really little teeth. But you know what? Guys love them.
Well, you're a very little person also. I think your teeth are proportionate to your face.
But it's just one of those things that, like, I maybe could have been self-conscious about, but then I wouldn't get people who are like, you know what, that's such a unique thing about you.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you don't see your own teeth super often, right? When you look in the mirror before you leave the house, you're not, like, smiling, unless you're checking your teeth for food in the bathroom after, you know, eat at a restaurant or something. But it's until you see them in pictures.
Right.
And then you're like, oh.
Right.
No veneers for me quite yet.
We'll see.
We'll see. That's what I want for Christmas. A new set of teeth.
Oh, God. Let's both get them and just look the same.
Just smile at each other all day.
So there's a new episode of Life After Bravo on BravoTV.com. And this time it features Lynn Curtin from Real Housewives of Orange County.
Ooh, how was that?
Okay, it was good because we really went into some of the darker moments that we saw with her. You know, her daughter got served an eviction notice on camera. And it's one of those things, like, maybe now it doesn't seem like such a big deal because we've seen some crazy things happen on Housewives. But it was shocking at the time. And it was, like, super sad. And just, like, what it's like to sort of go through something so heavy on camera and what are sort of the ramifications of that going forward.
Absolutely. And how her relationship with her daughter's is today.
Yeah.
Also, very exciting upcoming bonus episode featuring a very special interview.
Yes, I got to talk to Andy Cohen.
Ooh.
And it was so good, we just had to make it its own episode. So that will be coming tomorrow.
Oh, in case you haven't heard, the virtual Bravo Bazaar is live. You can shop for the Bravoholic in your life, especially if that Bravoholic is you.
Yes, we've talked to you guys about this before. It's an interactive experience where you can shop all your favorite Bravo celebrity brands in one place.
From The Real Housewives to Below Deck and Southern Charm to Summer House, this is a whole new way to shop your favorite Bravo shows.
We're talking about products from people like Candy Burris, Wendy Osefo, Meredith Marks, Jill Zarin, and the cast of Family Karma, plus more.
Visit bazaar.bravotv.com and start strolling through the virtual Bravo sphere on your mobile or desktop device.
The virtual Bravo Bazaar is the perfect destination for any Bravoholic's gift-giving needs this holiday season at Bazaar. That's bazaar.bravotv.com. So you guys might hear what sounds like to me tiny little construction men in like a radiator. I don't know what's happening, but in our current studio, it's like the heat is on, but it's making these noises. I don't know.
It's Santa's elves making toys.
Oh, right.
For the holiday season, Megan. Hello.
Exactly.
So if you hear a little cling clang in the background, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, what are we recapping today?
We need to talk about We got to talk about Porsche's Family Matters, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and Real Housewives of Orange County.
Plus, we have an interview with Gina Kirschenheider from Real Housewives of Orange County, and we'll wrap with Rose and Thorne.
Woohoo!
Okay, Porsche's Family Matters?
Yes.
You know, last week I had my reservations about this show, and this week, I'm all in.
I know. I saw you watching it at your desk yesterday, and you were like LOLing.
I was cracking up throughout the whole episode for many reasons, because we got to know more of Porsche's family. We got to see more from Mama Gina, and I had a good time.
Okay. What I love about it is that we're really getting the true story about how Dennis feels about this very quick engagement, because, you know, social media is not what it appears. You know, everyone is putting forth this sort of facade sometimes.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's the case here. Like, Dennis posed for this photo with Portia and Simon and made it seem like he was all happy about the engagement. But now we're getting, like, his true feelings, which, by the way, are a little bit more realistic in my purview. Because it's his daughter is, you know, his daughter is the one who's going to be affected by all of this.
Exactly.
But one of the things Dennis said was, 2 weeks ago, she was on my head talking about Portia.
Did you really think that comment would be harmless?
I mean, I thought it was funny. I was trolling, too, at the same time. She did just get engaged like a week ago, right? 2 months ago, she was on my head. Getting out of the hand fast.
Was that literally a reference to his penis? Or is that, you know, how they're doing the Dennis Dictionary type of things?
No, I was picturing her riding his face.
Rubbing his bald
too
head.
Too graphic for people listening? I don't know.
There's definitely more. I think maybe that's also Dennis trolling during his interviews, because that's what he said about the comment he left on her Instagram, right? That he was joking, he was trolling her. It ended up blowing up and getting covered by a lot of the blogs and everything. So I feel as though he was trolling her in his interview by saying that.
It was also interesting to find out that Lauren no longer works for Portia because Portia's sister has worked for her for so long. But yeah. I always worried about that dynamic because it's sort of like when Ashley Simpson was a backup dancer for Jessica Simpson. And it's mm-hmm. just like Ashley wanted her turn in the spotlight. And Lauren needs to find her own identity outside of Portia.
I know. It's true. It's sometimes with those kind of sibling relationships, one of them ends up being more like the sidekick, yeah. right? Like it's the Batman and Robin. Portia's obviously the bigger celebrity. She's across multiple reality shows at this point, and Lauren's always been by her side, but probably feels a little second to her.
Right.
And even in this conversation that we see between the two of them at lunch, when Nate comes up, this ex-boyfriend, currently an ex of Lauren's, and she's very emotional about it. I don't know who this guy is, but I hate him because he's obviously really upset her. But Portia tries to make it a little bit about herself right. in that moment. And Lauren calls her out, which I appreciate because Lauren's like, well, wait a minute. I'm the one who's suffering here. I'm going through a breakup. Like, let me have this. Yeah. This is my thing.
At the barbecue, I felt for Portia having to reveal that Simon has had three previous marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious, have you ever had to disclose a red flag for someone you're dating?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't think so. I've never been in quite a situation that Portia has put herself in essentially organizing an event that is like forced acceptance. Like, everyone come together, meet this man. This is how it's going to be. Ask your questions, but we're going through with this. It's a lot of my previous relationships before Danny have been so much more private from my family because yeah. we've lived in separate places and I've never really had to be like, ooh, look at this guy and here's a couple things that might be wrong with him. You know,
right.
it's never been that open. And especially with Portia, she's also a public figure. So never mind having to essentially screen Simon with her family.
Right.
But she's also, especially with this show, trying to show everyone, the world, this whole audience, who this guy is.
Yeah.
I did appreciate that he talked about being a rescuer in his previous relationships, and that was something that he learned through therapy. I thought that was a very important thing for him to share and recognize and probably learn about himself. And that shifted the way I'm perceiving him right now, because there is a little bit, and we see it with Grandma Iana and what she talks about with Dennis, you have a perception of Simon. We all have one at this point of someone who's been married before and he's rushed into this relationship with Portia. There's a lot of questions being asked. And I think him revealing that answered a few of them.
Right.
One common denominator that came out of all those relationships was that I found out that I'm a rescuer.
You was a rescuer.
But well, what I found out after at least 100 hours of therapy is that that's not my job.
That's right. It's not your job.
I wonder if it's possible. It just seems like if you have a lot of money, that would put you into this sort of natural rescuer
mm-hmm.
position.
Yeah.
It's just interesting.
Absolutely. If you can provide for, take care of someone who maybe didn't feel that way growing up or in previous relationships, people might be quicker to jump at that.
But that, I guess, speaks to like why he and Portia might work, because Portia doesn't need him. She has all of this success under her belt without him.
But does she need to be rescued in the sense that she needs to be with a man that she trusts won't cheat on her or hurt her in her most vulnerable moments, which was what Dennis did when she was pregnant?
I was very upset to hear that she's now with someone who admits he's cheated in his previous relationships. Well, not his most recent one, but all the ones before that, it sounds like. And I was just like, no. Because, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, maybe he's grown, but that would really worry me.
Well, he's referenced a few times this part of his Nigerian culture is, in the last episode, he referred to them as a side bitch. And I thought that was kind of interesting because Wendy Asefo from Real Housewives of Potomac, also Nigerian, doesn't seem to have the same mentality of, or the same agreed upon cultural norms. She is very possessive of Eddie, very much like, it is me and my man and our family, and we are this unit. He is mine, I am his, nobody else is involved. But Simon's talking about his experience and his culture a little bit differently. Can we talk about the grandma, Iana, messy situation?
Okay, can I say, I don't think she was trying to be shady. I think in her mind, Dennis is a player and that's who he is. And,
right.
And she's like, and look, my son is too. Like, I really don't think she meant to put him down. I think that she's, yes, she's labeling him and maybe that's wrong, but I don't think she sees it that way. It's like, Dennis cheated. Dennis is a cheater. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know that that's wrong.
I think she was almost trying to validate what he did as, you are this person, you have made mistakes, but we still care for you. We still want you a part of this family. My son did the same thing. He was a playboy. If Mama Gina hadn't been at this barbecue, I don't think Dennis would be as offended by what she said.
Right.
But Gina jumped in and felt defensive over her son, which is understandable, especially given the circumstances around Portia's new relationship. Simon's not divorced yet.
Right.
So cheating is, to in the eyes of some people, in the eyes of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, no, but for real, in the eyes of some people, what Portia and Simon are doing is essentially cheating.
Right.
So it's, but I do think Grandma got a little carried away and got too far down a path that she couldn't come back from.
I don't know. I like that she said it because you know what? We can't all be like, Dennis is so great. Dennis, you messed it up. You had a good thing and you messed it up. And that's just the reality. And now you have to live with that.
But I don't see why any of us should have an issue because I understand Dennis' life that he lead because I had a son lived the very same life. They like ladies.
Hold on, huh, Joy?
You know what? All men love ladies.
Oh, no, but I didn't. No.
Okay.
Please, y'all take this the wrong way. I try to explain to make it
watch
sweet.
Watch your drink, Mommy. Don't knock that over. Uh-oh, she's getting up, y'all.
I got to get up and come closer to y'all folks.
Now, you good? You just let her say what she want to say.
I don't think y'all quite understand. I'm not putting anybody down.
I know.
You're entitled to your life and live the way you wanted to.
Yes, ma'am.
And how we wanted to go for you and Portia, it maybe wasn't what you and her wanted at the time. So now it may be too late. I guess it's too late.
What I do really like is that Portia is open with Simon about how she's still healing from all of this. And after she goes out to dinner with Dennis, which is a little awkward,
God,
there is still a chemistry there. There is still something, which we talked a little bit about last week. But when she got in the car and went back home, she called Simon and she said, maybe I didn't want him to bring a date because I felt a type of way about it. So to be able to say that to your new partner about your old partner that you share a child with and for Simon to be okay with it, it's really important that everyone keeps these lines of communication open. But it makes me a little nervous for how sustainable is this situation if there's still feelings that haven't been totally separated.
And the chemistry more than anything would really concern me.
Mm-hmm.
I think with me not wanting him to bring somebody to my party, probably still could have been a part of me. Not really ready for all that yet.
I have been able to hang out with certain exes because for me, couldn't be less feelings.
Right.
Couldn't be less attraction. Not because they're not good looking, because that just has been shut down and shut off, you know?
Yeah.
If I still felt that connection, I don't know that I would put myself in that position.
Or ask him to come on your reality show.
Right.
We also get this conversation between Portia and Gina at the end of the episode, and this allegation comes up that allegedly came from Miss Diane.
Right.
We need to get Miss Diane on the phone.
It seems to me, though, that maybe the waters were muddied and that Portia and Dennis were on again, off again, on again, off again.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever happened there, I don't But I don't know. I don't know the facts.
Well, we do know the facts are that Portia moves on quickly.
Yeah.
And maybe in one of her on again, off again periods, she jumped at somebody to be like, look, I can get a man just as quickly as Dennis can get a woman.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, Portia's beautiful. Salt Lake?
Yeah. This is the most chaotic episode I have ever seen in Housewives history.
The energy on this girl's trip is not fun.
But yeah, like that's the thing. It's just, it's like the movie Uncut Gems. It's like you sit through that movie and you can't relax, not once. And that's the whole intent is like that you're just like waiting for something bad to happen. And that's how it, this whole episode feels, because we start, bam, like this this really like tense conversation. That Lisa's going hard against Mary and being like, look, I believe my friend Cameron. I think that is going down in that church and it's not good. And it's like Heather is really amped up about it too and is like, we have to believe these like allegations.
Right.
And Meredith is just being kind of like, I don't know. She seems the least...
drunk.
Is that what it is?
She still seemed a little drunk, but...
She seems the least pitchforky in this situation.
Yes.
But then it's like that night, Lisa goes to Mary's room and they're having a great old time. And then they go to Heather's room and they try to get her involved. I mean... I am curious, are you still a Lisa stan after this episode?
100%.
Don't you think she's being so, like, I don't even know what the word is.
Well, let's break it down a little bit.
Okay.
First of all, Whitney was the one in the original conversation who brought up Mary's congregation thinks she's God.
Right.
And then everyone was dancing around, well, what do we know? What are the facts here? And I do feel as though the energy... towards Mary in this episode was, it was misdirected energy. Everyone was still on edge about what happened with Jen and trying to process that and then getting all of this new information, which obviously, yes, Lisa brought Cameron to that party. He spoke to Meredith. Meredith brought that information to Whitney. And then Whitney was the one to bring it up to everybody. And so then everyone's pushing, well, what do we know? What are the facts here? And Lisa, I think, felt like she had no choice but to reveal, okay, fine, you want some facts? This is what I know of what Cameron told me. And I think Lisa did the right thing by going straight to Mary after that conversation to be like, I have a few questions. There are some things we need to clear up here.
That part's fine.
Yeah.
But then the next day when they had that weird sit down with everyone, Lisa seemed to be just changing her whole tune in a way that was like, what? You said you believed Cameron, but now you don't. But also, Meredith's energy was so weird in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
She just went in this really weird direction because I don't think we've ever seen her really emotional. And she was like sobbing.
Yeah.
Talking about Mary and how she doesn't think it's fair what she did. And she wants to apologize that she even brought it up.
Right.
I was like, okay. Like, it's just all weird to me.
I owe you an apology. And I owe you an apology. I should never have said anything to you about Cameron saying to be careful and that he wasn't spiritually aligned with Mary's church. That was wrong on my part. And I am sorry, Mary. I should have never said it to anyone other than you.
I don't blame Heather for being like, what is happening right now?
Do you think Heather was playing both sides a little bit, though? By having this whole conversation, then ending up in Mary's room with her and Lisa.
Well, as she says it, they bombarded her.
True.
But then you're adding in this layer of gifts, and that's real weird to me.
You all got gifts. What did you get?
Why does that matter?
I got a pair of shoes. Christine Louboutin.
Christian Louis Vuitton.
Christian, whatever. I don't speak French.
What did you get?
She gave me a Chanel clutch. It's overly generous.
What did you get?
Louis Vuitton hat.
What did you get?
I got a Louis Vuitton handbag.
I'm not hurt because I didn't get a gift. I'm hurt because I realized I thought we were friends and we are clearly not.
Is it considered a gift if it's just stuff Mary had lying around the house that she didn't want? Because that's, we know that's what Jenny's gift was. That's a re-gift.
Like, that's weird. But also gifts over a certain amount. It's kind of like when you work for a corporation and they're like, you can't accept anything over $5,000.
Right.
You
know, I think I was like $350.
Yeah. It's like this. Then it's considered a bribe.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what the vibe is of these gifts.
You think Mary is bribing people, but not Whitney?
Because she knows Whitney's made up her mind. I don't know. I don't know. But I think it's odd to give your friends such expensive gifts for no reason.
Well, definitely. But Mary is a very odd person.
And I don't understand how Mary has all this money.
Right. Well, we know she got at least $300,000 from...
That's what I'm saying. How can people say, on one hand, we totally believe her, everything is probably totally legit with this church. Oh, she just happened to buy me a $5,000 bag. I'd be like... Mary, is your church paying for this right now?
Right.
Like, are they? It just doesn't seem good to me.
Well, I think the thing about it is everyone's like comparing it to what happened with Jen. And so we just need to ask questions. We were blindsided by what happened here, even though people kind of suspected. And they don't want the same thing to happen to Mary. And at the end of the day, two truths can exist at the same time. Both Jen and Mary could be guilty of whatever they're being accused of. They could be. It's all possible. But I think it's apples to oranges. And I think that Cameron's experience with Mary's church is Cameron's experience. Is that reflective of everyone in her congregation? Probably not. And it's dicey when it comes to religion because everyone experiences it in a different way.
Look, it's not just Mary. I do not trust any person who is in a godly profession who has really nice things.
Mm-hmm.
I think to me that's like a really big no-no. Like, I just feel like, aren't you supposed to be a leader in terms of giving everything that you have away? You know what I mean?
Like a Mother Teresa nun mentality of like, I can live with less because I have God.
Because if you do like nice things, maybe that's not the path for you. Do you know what I mean?
Well, Mary did.
It's people giving their money.
Well, right. To the church. But Mary does clarify a couple times.
That she was born into the money.
She inherited it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
She might have inherited it.
But how did they get that? I don't know.
Well, right. It's all a little questionable.
And also, we need to also address the other Mary thing in this episode.
Oh, the completely offensive statement she makes at the end,
right,
about thugs.
When I think about Jim, I see a thug, like, you know, those Mexican people that make all those drugs. Thank you for giving me one. I got more tears than you.
She has said multiple problematic things.
Yeah,
this season, last season. Lisa Barlow says that comment gets addressed at some point this season. She replied to a tweet mentioning it. So I'm very curious about who brings it to Mary and how Mary handles it.
I mean, look, it's just one of those things where, like you've said, she has said things like that before. It is it's to me not a slip of the tongue. It's the way that she views people.
It's an intentional statement.
Or it's like, even it's the fact that she so easily says it that it's like, oh, you really feel that way, though.
Yeah.
I will say, someone tweeted me and said something like that I must stand by Mary because I hadn't tweeted something about it. Like, do you know how much time if I had to tweet about every comment or statement,
right,
from someone that I thought was, you know, a problem, like, that just really annoyed me.
Yeah. I mean, look, what Mary said was wrong and offensive and will be addressed eventually.
And to me, that's so obvious. That's so obvious that it's a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. All right, guys, we are here with one of my faves, Heather Gay from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Heather, what's up?
Hi, I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I know, it's so nice to finally meet you. I mean, we've all gotten to know you so well over the last couple of seasons. I feel like you've been so open and honest. So I already feel like we're friends.
Yeah. I understand. It's like you really have gotten to know me if you've watched the show. So that's like, we're already three steps ahead.
Right. Exactly. So obviously a lot going on in this Vail trip, but I do want to go back a little bit because you're the first Salt Lake City housewife we've had on since the big moment of the season. So let's go back to the bus. At what point did you realize, whoa, something is wrong here?
It was like I was sitting there on the bus and they had come in and kind of done like a visual check and like looked in kind of, it became very clear to me that it was legit. They weren't strippers. You know what I mean? Like they were actual law enforcement officers. And then that's when I popped up out of the party bus and walked out. That's when I knew. I wouldn't have gotten up and gone out if I thought it was, you know, I would have waited for the stripper show because they were going to start dancing. And so I think I don't really know exactly what triggered it, but I think it was a combination of me being like NYPD and like going through everything I knew about Jen, everything I knew about my own life, you know, like, and trying to figure out what it could possibly be. And then popping up. And then once I got out there and I saw the guns and I saw the bulletproof vests and like the everything, I knew it was something totally legit. I did not know it would be criminal or as big of a deal as it was.
I would imagine too. I mean, it is probably one of the biggest moments ever captured on Bravo cameras in history. And you know, I'm so curious to know what it was like also a little bit behind the scenes with the producers and the crew. I mean, everyone must have sort of been in the same boat of like, what's happening here?
Yeah. And there is this element of like, is this legit? Like, is this like, because we did think it was maybe a funny prank that Jen was doing. You know, Jen is over the top extra. So it wouldn't have been out of her character to like hire a bunch of cops and have start stripping and saying, we're going to, you know, like partners in crime in Vail or something funny. But so I think like everyone was just kind of checking everyone's credentials. Production was checking their credentials and just saying like, we're not going to, you know, engage or anything. And it was just big and it was confusing and it was intimidating. And then they weren't really being forthright either. I mean, the officers kept saying, we just need to check on Jen. And we had just heard her say that her Sharif was in the hospital. She was worried about his, you know, well-being. And so we thought a disgruntled employee, a former associate, someone was coming after her and all the way from New York, you know, and so the cops were there to intervene.
It's so crazy. I mean, I'm really sad that you guys never got your strippers. I mean,
we never got our strippers. We should probably like have an event where we just get over that PTSD and hire a crew to come in.
Really? Yeah, it's the only solution. Okay. You got to go to Montreal, find a nice like Chippendales type
immersion
of situation.
Immersion therapy. Like I'm going to have like a detective fetish for a couple of years, but we'll
oh my God, obsessed. So then I know we'll probably see it in the upcoming episode, but when was the first time that you heard from Jen after the arrest?
She called me. And I think it was maybe a day after we got back from Vail. It was quite, I mean, I just feel like it was, I got home from Vail and was just like, where is she? What's she doing? Because her numbers had all changed. And she called me from a number I didn't know. That was
wow.
It.
Will we see that on camera or will we see it? We will. Oh my God.
Yeah, we'll see that. And then I just, you know, met up with her immediately. And, but it was, I mean, you'll see it all real time, which I lived it and I'm fascinated to watch it because we were in the same kind of cloud of confusion and trauma and figuring stuff out as the audience. And so now that we get to watch it all play back, it'll be, I think, enlightening and healing for everyone to kind of like figure out what was happening, you know,
and
it was a big deal, the biggest deal I've ever been through.
Absolutely. I feel like it's the biggest deal I've ever been through. And I was literally not even there. Has business at Beauty Lab increased since this parking lot showdown? I know you said it did in 2020 with the pandemic, people being on Zoom just like this, looking at their imperfections. But I feel like I know one friend at least who was in the Salt Lake City area and drove out to take a picture in front of Beauty Lab, which she probably would have done regardless of, you know, the showdown. But have you noticed anyone coming in particularly after this moment?
Yes. I mean, the street traffic has for sure increased. And we have so many people that even when we're not open, just come by the parking lot and take a selfie. And I'm thinking of putting some stanchions out front and like a special sacred, the place where it happened, parking spot, so that everyone knows that they're totally welcome to come to Beauty Lab. Absolutely walk in. We have like, we're a very like open, not chi-chi med spa. Like we are beauty by the people. So it's a fun kind of I don't want to say festive, but it's like a friendly environment. So people walk in all the time and are like, is Heather here? And can I take a selfie against the wall? And where did it happen? And where's the bathroom? And, you know, just all of that. And then there's people that come in and just want to get services that never knew about Beauty Lab or did know about it. But now the novelty of it being like where the feds swarmed the party bus and being this fixture in Housewives history has made it just kind of, yeah, a landmark and way more fun.
That is so cool.
It's great because we're opening the second location and it's a much like nicer, newer building because it's in a, you know, like a new development, but it doesn't have that same, you know, it'll never have the charm of the Beauty Lab where it happened, you know,
how the charm,
you were at Beauty Lab. So it kind of makes it special, you know?
That is so cool. Well, congrats on the second location too, because we've seen so much growth with your business, you know, over just the last couple of years.
It's unbelievable that I have to pinch myself. The business grew so quickly and has done so well. And that was really the vehicle that got me even into the housewives realm. It was ironically like becoming a businesswoman and not a housewife that made me a real housewife. But it has been great to watch the growth and just to have housewives happen and all of these opportunities. I mean, I was dead inside. Like I really just didn't have excitement for these things. And now to have a business that's booming, a opportunity to be a housewife, my life is completely done a 180 since where it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, we are learning so much more about your past this season in particular, I think. Is it painful to go back there or is it more of a cathartic experience for you?
I think it's cathartic. You know, there's a lot of blowback, you know, and some painful things. Like you think, oh, I wish I could spare my family my personal journey, you know, but I couldn't do this journey without the housewives and without the business. So it's all kind of mixed in for me. And so while I would probably prefer to not drag my family through all of my personal epiphanies, you know, publicly,
right.
Since it's kind of so close to their heart and it feels like such a betrayal for me to leave the faith and to not get remarried and just all the things. But it's how it had to happen. And it is painful, but it's healing and it's progress, you know, and to have the audience reach out and be able to relate to it. It makes me feel like I'm a part of this huge, big, wide world that I always felt kind of excluded from. And I love it. It's given me new life for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, you see the profound changes within you, I think, with the way you talk in your interviews and the conversations we've seen you had with family members. So I do want to get into the veil trip because I know we also see you reconnecting with your sister. But, you know, this whole recent episode, this veil trip just goes completely off the rails, Heather. I mean, do we think that the energy towards Mary was possibly misdirected because of what was going on with Jen?
Yeah, I think that we were amped up, you know, we were highly agitated and there was a lot of chatter, you know, online and everything. Like we were leaving on a girls trip and we'd had a SWAT team swarm our bus, interrogate us in a way. And then we had the press come out that all of these things were going on and we felt compelled to be like good citizens and all of these bad things had been swirling about Mary and her church, but you know, she was our friend and we just didn't give it any credence at all. Lisa had been on that trail for a while, but she had not even alerted any of us to the fact that she was trying to expose Mary. So it felt like we were a group of women that had been beaten down and traumatized and were taking an opportunity to try to be, you know, have merit badges of courage, you know, like we're going to ask the tough questions and we're going to get to the bottom of all this. And so, yeah, I think misdirected applies, but it's also like she got a lot more energy than she would have ever gotten. I think it was all humming and brewing and it would have hit the light of day eventually, but certainly it got absolutely accelerated because of the trauma we went through with Jen. And
yeah,
we didn't want to do that twice in a row. Like fool me once, fine, but fool me twice, we're going to have to answer for it. And that's kind of how I felt. And I'm sure all the ladies felt the same.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone gets very emotional during this conversation. We see you get very upset. Meredith gets very upset. So the energy in that room, how did it feel? Did you feel like you only really had Whitney as an ally in those moments?
Yeah, that is, so the energy that we were giving Mary the night before, that was very much like, you know, us being like hard-hitting reporters. But then the next morning, we had kind of resolved it all that night and said, you know what? We're going to sit down. We're going to have Mary clarify. We're going to give her the floor and have her say what she needs to say to clear up all of these horrible things that Lisa is telling us about her and that we're reading online. And so it was really in an effort to say, Mary, sorry to put you on the spot, but we are all collectively asking you as a group to answer our questions and kind of call her to task. And so when I sat down on that couch and I realized almost immediately that it was not going that way, it was becoming a, Mary, we're so sorry that these biddies were talking about you all night and we'd like to start out with an apology. And I was just like, now what you talking about, Willis? That is not the game plan.
Right.
And to have the only thing that had changed between the night before where we went to bed like, go team, we're going to do the hard work. You know, it became gifts had been distributed to every single, expensive gifts had been distributed to everyone except for Whitney. Whitney had been kind of pigeon scapegoated as the one to stir all this up when she was absolutely the farthest from it. And it became this really weird, it felt like an ambush. And it felt like the target had shifted from Mary to like Whitney. And so that's why I think I had such an emotional response, because I thought it had already been such a fog of trauma and weird things. I was like, what just happened? Like, what is real? Why is this going sideways? And why is Lisa saying something completely different? And Meredith apologizing to Mary. It just was like Whitney said it, a total mind F, you know?
Yeah, like, right.
We went to bed with a game plan, guys. And this feels like we woke up outside of enemy lines, you know? And I felt it for sure. Whitney was the only person in that room that had my back at all.
Right. Well, I think one positive thing that may have come out of the whole thing, and I'm sure you've seen this, is this new meme of you with the hood up.
It's all I can post on my Instagram. I put that giant coat on. I was literally, there was one private commode that had a door and I kept going in there like my sanctuary to like hide. And I heard Mary coming down the stairs and I looked over my shoulder. And that was all real time. And that was like, I could feel and remember the fear and like the side eye, like.
Right. I mean, I can't even imagine. I would never want Mary on my bad side
never,
at all.
Never.
She scares me.
Never. I had avoided it. I had to kind of ice skated through with just, you know, small hiccups here and there. And I did not want to be in the crosshairs. But
yeah, I mean, you didn't want to be in the crosshairs enough that you and Whitney were like, forget the private jet. No. We are taking commercial home.
I was not going to be in a closed confined space. It was totally unsettling. Yeah.
Yeah. That would not have gone well. Well, another positive thing, I guess, that came out of the Vail trip is reconnecting with your sister. So can you give us an update? How are things with the two of you today?
She's great. We're working on a relationship. It's a big gap to kind of bridge. But I mean, I think that she's a housewife fan and she's got a great sense of humor. And I think what she would love most is that the first great thing to come out of the Vail trip was the meme of the side eye meme. And then the second great thing was her reconnecting with me. I think she would probably categorize them in that order too. But yeah, it's been really healing. I think also for our other siblings to kind of see us tell it like it was without it being sugarcoated. And that's a hard truth for a family to realize. And I think it's the kind of things that you never really speak of in families, but it's there, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I'm proud of her for showing up and being so open and being totally supportive of me. And not a lot of my family members will agree to film. And she did, even though we were estranged and it was going to be a hard conversation. She didn't even flinch. And I love her and I'm grateful to her. And I'm going to probably be making up for it for the rest of my life. And I'm happy to do that because she deserves it.
Yeah. Well, I'm an only child, so I can't really relate to the sibling experience, but I thought it was really interesting to hear you both
say how you were jealous of each other. You know, she was jealous of the fact that you were so accepted within your family for being a good Mormon. And then you were jealous a little bit of her being able to break away and do her own thing. And like you said, those are conversations that families don't always have, especially on camera, but they're so important to express and get a better understanding, I would imagine, of each other.
Yeah, I agree. I got choked up watching it. And I felt like she nailed it. She was saying all this time, like, you looked like the golden child. And really, you were just longing to be as free as I was, because she's still married to the love of her life. She has a full life. She's never said no to anything that she wanted to do or experience. Whereas I thought I was, you know, the good one, the good kid. And meanwhile, I was just the dog in the manger as well. And so, yeah, to expose that and realize how wrong we both were, you know, it is, I hope it's something people can relate to, and that especially around the holidays, you know, people will bridge those gaps, you know, and mend those fences, because life is too short and the unspoken things, they really do rip families apart, and they keep us from having the friendships and relationships we could have if we can talk about these things. So if housewives can help us talk about these things,
look, it
I'm
does.
A goddamn hero.
It's so true. I need to call you like once a week and just like talk to you about life stuff, because this is just all so good.
I don't know. Not all heroes wear capes. Sometimes they masquerade as housewives, you know?
It's very true. I want to talk about your daughter, Ashley, because okay. I think at this point now she's in her first year.
Yeah.
At UC Santa Barbara. Oh my God. How is she enjoying it?
UC Santa Barbara.
It's a great school. I used to live in California and I went up to Santa Barbara a few times. I had family in the area and it is beautiful. I've always heard it's a really fun school. It's like a party school, but it's a good school.
Yeah.
A bit of a party school. So how is she enjoying it?
She's loving it. She's FaceTimed me a couple times when she's definitely in good time girl mode, which I'm grateful for. And I know because she's FaceTiming me and I'm thinking, you know, I would never have FaceTimed my mom from a party, but
right.
I love her. I'm so glad that we have that open communication, that she feels not only free to just, you know, be wild, but to know that I'm supporting her. And if she gets in a bind, she doesn't have to, like, she can call me and I'm going to help her out. I'm going to fix it, or, you know, save her, or not going to judge her. So that's a huge relief as a mom, because otherwise I would have been setting her off being like, don't mess up, and closing my eyes to whatever she was doing.
Of course. Yeah. No, I love that. I love that you've been so supportive of that part of her experience, because it is inevitably a part of every college experience. Let's
right?
be real.
Unless you go to BYU and then it's 100% not a part at all.
Well, we did see last season, you know, you got some game, girl. So I need to know, what's happening in your dating life? Are you seeing anyone? Are you just having fun? What's going on?
I'm just having fun. I don't have a boyfriend. I'm not dating anyone seriously. I definitely go out and I definitely meet people.
She's winking, you guys.
Well, I don't want people to think I'm like this spinster with my cat.
Right.
I'm maximizing every opportunity, but I'm not really in a mode right now to partner up.
That's fair.
If the right man came, of course, you know, I'd move him right in. I wouldn't even interview him. I'd just move him right on in.
If you could mold the perfect man for you, what would some of his qualities be? Just so we can put it out in the universe.
Yes, I'm with you. Funny. And kind. I think funny and kind are my two big ones. And then I also like people that have a healthy appreciation for me.
Yes.
If they come with an adoring, like, supportive air, like, I feel that energy and I just soak it up. So I think those are my biggest things. I would love them to, you know, just love food, friends, family, and television. And then we'll get along great, honestly.
Who would you trust on your cast to set you up with someone?
I would trust, truth is, I would trust any of them to set me up. I mean, I went out with Big Easy / Big Daddy. And that was
that's Jen. Right. Oh my God.
And Jen knows my flavor more than anyone. And I mean, we salvaged the night. It wasn't, you know, it was not a love connection.
Yeah.
But I trust all of them to, you know, basically put me in the driver's seat and I'll park the car. You know,
let's, there you go. I can okay. get,
you know, that might have been the wrong analogy, but you know what?
No, I love a euphemism. That's great. I would imagine that the reunion is filming fairly soon. So what are some issues that you're hoping get addressed this time around? Where do we begin?
I know so much. We're filming the reunion in a few weeks. I would like there to be some healing for all of us. You know, I just think we need to all look at the way that we responded to Jen's indictment and responded to the rumors about Mary. I would like to find out everyone's motivation, like, especially in Vail, like what were you guys thinking when you brought everyone gifts? You know, were you thinking that that would bring the group together and we'd all be mad at Whitney? You know, it just like things like that. Like I kind of want to, when it's not just one-on-one, the whole group's together and no one can really shirk the answers or the accountability. I want to ask the kind of collective questions like, do you think I'm dumb for being Jen's friend? You know, you told me I was being effing stupid, but like, am I? You know, right. I just kind of want to talk about it. And I hope for healing for a lot of like for Jen and Lisa, for Lisa and Meredith, for me and Mary, for Mary and Whitney. I mean, we all have a great time when we're getting along and, you know, that's the end goal.
Yeah. Do you think that Lisa Barlow in particular will end up in the hot seat, maybe even more so than Jen or Mary?
Yeah, but I think Lisa is comfortable in the hot seat. Like she'll do just fine. She didn't even have need to really be in the hot seat season one reunion. And, you know, it became, you saw us, we couldn't even stop on the lunch breaks. So
right. I mean, your little tornado, you bad weather.
So Lisa's tough. She'll do just fine. And she will be in the hot seat, but like, we wouldn't have a show without Lisa, you know,
and that is the truth.
She keeps it interesting and she keeps me on my toes. And you know, for an old dog that you think can't learn new tricks like me, I'm learning new tricks from Lisa. And I think that keeps us all smarter and sharper and a little bit, you know, more in tune with our lives. So I hope we're all in the hot seat a little bit. It's good for all of us, you know?
That's usually how it goes, right? So recently with Potomac reunion, Nicki Minaj did a little guest hosting situation. So which celeb would you want to guest host the Salt Lake City reunion?
I mean, Bad Gal Riri. If
there you go. I knew you were going to say that.
I would be scared to meet her for the fact that I'd probably, she'd be let down and be like, you know what? I like her on TV. I think I'm just going to be a fan from afar. No, if Rihanna showed up or even called in or tweeted in, it would be the thrill forever. I mean, just have her interact with us at all is totally surreal.
You're a
mom and now Rihanna's like, you go girl, you get everything coming, you know, you
yes
all. It's just, it makes you realize how great it is that we can be connected like this, you know, and it's what to not take it for granted, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Rihanna is one of my biggest selling points when I try to get my friends to watch Salt Lake City. I'm like, no, Rihanna watches it, she loves it, she's obsessed with Heather Gay, you need to watch, like, what are you waiting for?
Well, you know that she texted or DM'd Whitney and said that Whitney and I are her favorite duo on television.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, more than Bert and Ernie? More than Laverne and Shirley? More than, you know, bosom buddies? It was just funny. So she follows Whitney, too. And she follows Bad Weather.
Bad Weather. She follows a few of the Potomac ladies, too, I think. So she's got good taste, I think.
I would hope. I'm going to categorize it like that.
Well, Heather, this has been so great. Thank you so much for chatting with us and being so open and honest and giving us so much on this season and last season. And she's got a tree behind her, you guys. I know you can't see her right now, but she's ready for the holidays. So
we're all up in the Christmas up in here. So yes, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me. It's been great to chat.
Of course. Thanks, Heather. We'll talk to you soon.
Real Housewives of Orange County?
Yes.
Yes. This is a great episode, right?
Oh my God, so much going on. Okay, I don't really think that Gina did the right thing going to Heather.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure how you were going to feel about
it. Well, it just felt odd, the timing of it. And okay, by the way, because like, let's strip all of the other stuff. Shannon said it to Gina off camera and said, don't mention it.
Yeah.
And I do think that housewives are supposed to have each other's back in a way where it's like, you don't bring people's personal, like, if I told you, if we were on a reality show, or like even on the podcast, it wouldn't be nice of you to bring up something that I have told you about, like my personal life, and
right.
like to bring it up as entertainment. I'd be like, whoa, I thought we like had a friendship here.
Yeah.
And I do feel like Shannon thought, okay, I can trust Gina with this information. But then Gina just totally backstabbed her.
Yeah. I think Shannon was waiting for the right time to bring it to Heather. And this party was not it. However, Gina and Emily thought it was a good time to bring it up.
What happened? I feel uncomfortable because Shannon didn't know if Nicole was the same girl that she knew previously.
Right, I knew that.
Prior to that, she said that Nicole had sued her husband. Honestly, Heather, the whole thing is so absurd. We wanted nothing to do with it. But if Shannon is saying these things, and if outside shot it was true and somehow you didn't know this, I thought then you looked a little silly being like, Nicole's so great, and yet she perhaps did something that was not cool to your fans.
Right.
Obviously, though, I would find it weird that Heather Dubrow is really good friends with someone who sued her husband. And I would think, okay, this maybe should come out, but I don't know that I would do it that way. Maybe I would go to Nicole and say, hey, is this true? And maybe I'd say it off camera, though. And yeah. be like, and if it is, I just, as someone who's done this show, like, I just think you need to get ahead of it. And I need, you know.
I mean, Nicole must have known at some point it was going to come out.
Well, it was interesting how, I mean, Emily was so sneaky. And she's like, you have great breasts.
Yeah.
Your boobs look great.
Oh, my goodness.
They look so nice. Look good.
Which, you know. Just so you know, Eric, because, you know, you're a guy. Girls don't tip. Like, I mean, maybe I would once or twice, but not to some girl I don't know. I would not go up to at a party and be like, your breasts look amazing. Like, yeah. That's just odd.
If you were having a conversation about plastic surgery, work you've had right. done, and everyone was like, oh, I've had this and that, and my boobs, look at these. Sure. Then you can say, oh, absolutely. Look at your boobs. They're amazing. But it did feel worse. Like, Emily was trying.
Yeah. And then Nicole sort of fell for it. And it was interesting, her response, where she's like, well, there was a whole thing. And I was like, so would she have brought this to someone's attention on her own?
No.
You don't think?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think she was hoping it would stay buried in the past because it was a long time ago. But she's joining Housewives. Like, you got to know that yeah. someone's going to dig that up.
It was interesting how the table sort of turned in terms of, like, the arguing became between Emily and Nicole.
Yes, Emily and Nicole, for whatever reason, and we got the audio that we teased
yeah.
for everyone. My prediction was right.
Yeah.
I'm very proud. Nicole tried for this moment and epically failed.
Right. Like, I have to say, I was sort of on Nicole's side at first, just in terms of, like, it's really none of your business, Emily.
Yeah.
And, like, if I need your suggestion. But then it's like she just was getting angrier and angrier and the whole sit down. Like, it was just like, oh, my God.
I suppose some people are probably looking at this situation similar to Alisa Barlow in that Shannon was the one who lit the match and then let everybody else fan the flames. But I don't know if Shannon really expected it to become part of the show, and I think she didn't want it to.
And also, like, I don't know that I would have been able to keep that secret in either if I were Shannon. I think I would have told someone, because that's, like, a really interesting tidbit to be like, oh, my God, yeah, she sued Terry.
Yeah.
Like, I would be fascinated by that.
Right. Well, to your point, if someone had just brought it to Nicole and asked her for some clarification and then encouraged her, are you going to bring this up to Heather? Are you going to mention this just before it comes out in a way that's not good? It probably would have been different. And the whole thing would have been a non-issue because the lawsuit was dropped. We see Terry come down, have a conversation with her, and everyone kikis and has a good time and is good.
Yeah.
You know, so it really became something that it didn't have to be.
Yeah. How upset do you think Heather was genuinely? Like, in terms of, like, the telling production, you need to stop.
I think when she heard lawsuit, your husband, and it became about her family, and she wasn't expecting it, and it's day two, three of filming, she's probably like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And do you think they then called their lawyer to be like, does this name ring a bell? Because, I mean, how would he remember? I mean, doctors get sued all the time.
Yeah.
So I would assume that it's a little bit, I don't want to say par for the course, but like I doubt it was his only lawsuit, you know?
Yeah, I think when cameras were down and Heather and Terry were upstairs, phone calls were made. Very Lisa Barlow called all six of their lawyers to be like, hold on, let's get some clarity here. Because he came back down and knew exactly what had happened, recognized that her name had changed, and was like, oh, okay, this is in the past. It's not a big deal.
Do you think Shannon should get the blame for this? It's hard to really know what her intentions are, because obviously she's been accused before of sort of stirring the pot behind the scenes, but...
And is still being accused of that via social media.
Right.
By some former castmates.
Is it possible she genuinely didn't have ill intent?
I think so. And she kept bringing it back to, I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I don't know if that is the truth. I think she didn't want it to come back to her.
And also, I just want to point out that apparently Shannon, like, because I think they were out drinking at that, like, restaurant when she told Gina. And I will say, I tell people this. I'm like, when I am drinking, do not tell me a secret. I will immediately tell it to someone my inhibitions are down. And because gossip is obviously fun. But when you're sober, you have enough of an awareness to be like, I don't want to hurt someone by spreading this. But when I'm drunk, that goes out the window.
Right. And wine,
do not tell me a secret while I'm drinking.
There in wine, there is truth, right? And vino veritas, like, look out.
And I will tell everyone's truth.
I think what upset me the most in this episode was all that wasted sushi.
Oh my God, I know.
$10,000 worth of sushi or something crazy.
Oh my God.
Oh. And from Nobu, I mean, come on.
Come on.
Oh, I want to go to a party at Heather's.
I know.
Were you glad to see Mr. Puppers?
I mean, not as glad as you.
I was like, here he is, out to dinner. Well, let's talk a little bit about Ryan, Dr. Jen's husband.
Yeah.
They have this conversation about her working a lot, being essentially the breadwinner of the family. Something tells me, though, that Ryan is pretty comfortable being a kept man.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. There's something about him that I think I worry about those two.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like he's all the way in.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I can't tell if it could just be nervous camera energy, you know, and that he doesn't really know how to act. But that's just sort of the vibe I got.
Was it the Brussels sprouts and just how he was really focused on those instead of the kind of serious conversation
they
were having?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he's just very used to doing things his way, having his time.
Yeah.
Not always available to chat, maybe when Dr. Jen needs to chat.
Right.
Hmm. I was really intrigued by this whole conversation between Shane and Emily about faith, religion, their beliefs, their daughters choosing their own path. And I want to say, I think Emily is setting a great example for her kids by being so accepting of their choices when she herself may not really believe in an afterlife and the things that Shane does, which is also interesting in and of itself.
Right.
Being in a partnership like that where you do have such different fundamental beliefs. But she kept going back to, well, I feel like you're setting such a good example, and being able to pursue a religion like this gives them morals and direction and puts them in a position where they can feel like they have something to live for and guide them. And I don't know if I'm able to offer that to them. But I think just in that acceptance, she is offering something amazing to them.
Yeah. Well, and the most important part of it being that, like, your faith gave you comfort in a dark time.
Mm-hmm.
And why would I ever want my kids to not have that?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing with him when he had COVID and was just not afraid to die. Like, that was really pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And I think Shane is often, you know, his dry sense of humor, a bit of a jokester. His jokes don't always land. But that was pretty profound,
right,
to hear from him. Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
Okay, my rose was Emily in this episode of Real Housewives of Orange County because I live for angry Emily. Mm. We don't get it often, but it's like that time she told Kelly Dodd she was going to kill her because Kelly was like being rude about her husband.
Yeah.
It's like she gets to a place where her voice changes and it's just, it's exciting to watch.
Yeah. It's also, she becomes very commanding and powerful when she was like, you come to me.
Yes.
No, you are coming with like to Gina. I was yes. like, oh my God. I was like, whoa.
I know.
I want her on my side. I want her to be my lawyer and fight for me if I ever need.
But also, do you think she's bossy in the bedroom?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, she is in control of Shane behind those closed doors for sure.
No, you.
Emily.
No.
Emily.
You come with me.
Emily. Emily.
No, you're with me.
I'm not.
You come with me.
Push it over.
What is your rose?
My rose is Dennis's mom, Gina, her interview look.
Oh, yeah.
Very just like fantasy, regal, you know, kind of elvish, not Elvis, but elfish. Lord of the Rings-ish.
Yeah.
But just, yeah, she really brought that look. What about your thorn?
So my thorn was probably, you know, it's Jess from Below Deck, where I just feel like, what's going on, Jess?
Mm.
Why? What? Are you sad or are you just unhappy to be here? It just reminds me of like, you know, yeah, you've had a coworker who was just like, look, man, like none of us want to be here on a Monday, but like get it together because
yeah.
you're dragging me down.
A Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. She's a little blah.
What's your thorn?
My thorn's also from Below Deck and it's Eddie and the way he is behaving this season. There's something about his leadership style that I'm not down with. A few weeks back, he was talking to his team about something that they had done wrong, and he was sitting down while they were all standing. And I was like, I don't like that. Malia wouldn't do that.
Right.
And then in this week's episode, he was just getting so frustrated and yelling and potentially impacting the guest experience with his behavior, and Captain Lee had to call him in and settle him down. I don't know, there's something about the energy he's bringing right now that I'm not down with.
Right.
Sorry, Eddie.
We'll be back with an all-new episode next week. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.